Well, welcome everyone. I'm glad to see this size of turnout. It just goes to show really how many people were impacted by Ann McDonald. Let me first say, I'm James, and I am an alcoholic. Hey, James. But welcome to everyone. I know that everybody in this club was a part of this club. Is going to miss Ann. And I know that I will personally, because I didn't know her that long. I knew her for about 10 years or so. But the one thing that I always remember about Ann is that there were three things that really pinpointed her for me. One of them was that she was creative. The other is that she's classy. You know, a woman always carried herself well, and she always had a good smile. The third one is that she was spiritual. She had that little twinkle in her eye that just let you know that she was on top of things. She knew exactly what was going on and had a good life. Now, just a little bit of history is that Ann McDonald had, I think, about 28 years of sobriety. And she had been an active member of NAVA Club here since 91, I think. But when I say active, I mean she was here for almost every function, every dance. And just a big part of this club. And for me, anyway, I'm going to miss her. As you can see, she's an accomplished artist. And I always liked the way she always dressed just right. I know I'm going to miss her. And what we're going to do, the format here today is very simple. Which, you know, we're AA folks. It's a lot easier just to keep things simple. And with that, I'm going to say that first, I would like to give the family members an opportunity to speak with their remembrances. And then after that, we'll open it up to the floor, and anyone who wishes can come up and remember Ann McDonald Dotson. All right, so here we go.
Well, not much I can say that you don't already know about her. She is a hard act to follow, believe me. And because of that, I had to keep up with her anyway. I had to satisfy her needs, her moods, and she was so exacting. And after 27 years of trying to redo herself, she did a marvelous job. And Judith, who's one of our sponsors, a major sponsor that I know of, was very critical about being right about things, doing the right thing, and no nonsense kind of thing. And boy, not Ann did that. She was just like that. She was wonderful in that respect. She made a new life for herself. I read one of her, I'm sorry, I have a breath problem. I read one of her messages that she left behind, and it said that she wondered how she ever survived her life in the past. She had no place to go, no place to eat. She was in Texas. She was sleeping on a park bench at night. She says, "I'm so sorry. Maybe that's why I'm going to die so young at 84. Well, her life was very hard. But since then, for 27 years, she didn't drink. And because she didn't drink, all those things that follow in the book, she did. And that's so exacting that when I read the book, I said, I can't do this. I said, I won't remember one thing from another. I said, it's so hard to follow this. But because I'm living with her, I had to change, and I had to change drastically, because I was anything goes. I had no parameters. I Well, I was easy going. So nothing was that important, and nothing was unimportant. So it was one of those balancing things. And somebody said to me, well, Mr. Goshor, a September person. Yes, I'm a September 13th, a balance. Maybe that's why I balanced the world. I balanced my feelings. I balanced everything I did. There was no right. There was no wrong. There was no high. There was no low. Everything mattered just as much. There was no big deal. So what I had, as far as my personality is concerned, I was easy to get along with. But don't believe that. They said, very stubborn. I said, stubborn? I said, I don't recognize it. But she says, I was. And I can't to this day find where I'm stubborn at. Except when I want something, I want it. And that's stubborn, and I am stubborn. And so that's where it is. But as far as she's concerned, she was a great pianist, and I inherited her piano. Of course, I know she's dying, and I knew that. Oh, about 6 months ago. We didn't both do that very much so because our lungs are getting worse and worse and not getting any better. And she was on all kinds of help to make that lungs work for her. But what happened in the end is that when she left the hospital, they told her that they could not help her. Well, that was the time that she knew that was the finish. At least she knew. She says, Hank, I'm not going to be around much longer. Well, 3 days go by, but meanwhile, she can't sleep, she can't eat, she can't drink. So she's having a rough time. Well, I wake up in the morning, trying to wake her up because the dog is licking her face, and she's not alive. Well, she fell asleep, and she didn't wake up. And every night before she would sleep, she would pray to God that she would wake up sleeping. And she's now in a big sleep. And she's very happy that way because now she doesn't have to deteriorate anymore. And she's happy about that. And I'm happy. I'm happy because I don't have the problem. But I know, I never realized, I forgot I went to two other wives, and each one died with a big problem. One had emphysema, the other one had cancer. And I also became a caretaker. But I lived that part of the care, and I forgot where I was. I was part of the person. And I was getting that with Ann, but I was turning a deaf ear to her lots of times because her needs were greater than I could supply. And so it turns out that sometimes she'd get angry at me and she says, you're not loving me. She says, you know I'm dying. Well, there you are. She's dying and she wants love. Love, contention, kindness. Well, sometimes I was a little rough on her. Come on, I would say, Ann. See that? See what you're saying to me? Well, that's what happened. But that's because I guess I had enough of it. I had too much. No. The point is, I'm here, and she's gone, and she's happy where she is. And I'm happy for her, too, because she's not going any further. She went there to her God that she wanted to be with. So there it is. But I tell you, she's a hard act to follow. I'm going to have a large problem, terrific problem, to find another woman. Well, I don't like living alone. So I think in another year from now, I'll join a singles club. And see what I can do. Oh, possibly girls that are here that need some companionship. And so anything goes. But I have to be ready for that. So I'll say adieu. And thank God for her being happy where she is. Bye bye.
My name is Ed, and I'm Ann's son. And I'd like to thank everybody in the room for being a big part of my mother's life and to come celebrate her life. And I guess if I was to tell any story, it would be that I think mother's presence at the NAPA Club has been much longer than 1991. We used to live in Briarwood Apartments over there, and I was 18 or 19, and we would come here. So it did take Mother a while to find her sobriety, and once she got that sobriety, everything went right in her life. And I think that that's an important thing that the NAPA Club offers to people and offered to my mother. I'd like to thank you very much.
And I'm Laura, and I'm Anne's daughter-in-law. And I'm not very good at speaking, but I'm a physician, and the one thing I can say is I've seen my mother pass of a long illness and my stepmother pass of a long illness, and as hard as it was to for y'all who saw her a lot to hear that she was sick and then have her pass away relatively quickly, I think it really is a blessing, because I work with kids now, but I worked in adult emergency rooms, and people suffer so badly, and to be able to go to sleep and the way she did, I think, like Hank said, that's just a blessing. Thank you for coming today.
My name is Mark, and I'm an alcoholic. I am honored to be here to celebrate Ann's passing. I am a good friend of Ann's, and I not so long ago went to Ann's and Hank's house, and Ann was one of my teachers. That's also a lot of other older women in the fellowship. If I want to know about women, I go to older women in the program. And Anne went on to tell me about the ego. When a woman has an ego problem, that she was like that. And she wasn't grateful for nothing until she lost everything. And she went on to tell me about how certain egos can't communicate with other egos and have that compassion. And she told me that that she was just like that, and in order for her to be grateful, she had to lose everything. But she taught me a lot of other stuff, you know, how to, she encouraged me a lot, you know, and her and Hank invited me over to their house, and Hank said he had some tools to give to me. And I took my time by going over to their house, but when I went over there, I had the privilege to help them clean the storage closet out. And Ann, after I got through, I said, wait a minute, I didn't come over here to work. Ann said, hey, Mark, you feel exploited? So us as alcoholics have ways of doing things. But anyway, I said, Ann, I got to go wash my clothes. So I washed. She said, you can wash them here, you know. She had the privilege to teach me about the program and how she was then and what she is now, you know. And I'm going to miss her, and she always encouraged me and find ways. You can be this and you can be that, you know. And I just, you know, liked her presence, you know, and her personality, and I'm going to miss her very well. Thanks.
Very low. My name is Judith, and I'm an alcoholic. I had the privilege of being Ann's sponsor for almost 8 years. I know that in the world she left her three boys the most of anything, and her daughter-in-law, Laura, that's the one she actually really, really loved. I'm going to get over this because this isn't a sad day. Anne was declining and she couldn't go like a bat out of hell like she wanted to. You know, Anne had two speeds, high and off. I've never seen anybody love beauty. It was passion like Anne had, the sense of humor she had. She would call me regularly, and because she had never successfully had a sponsor before, she would call me and say, "Hi, this is Anne." Like anybody could not know Anne's voice. And she would say, "I just called to tell you how much I love you." And I had a very bad relationship with my mother, so, and thank you both for sharing your mother with me. She gave me things that my mother didn't. Get it together. I'm just going to miss her, but I do want to tell a story. When I very first started sponsoring Anne, she had noticed Hank at the senior center, and there had been some sparks between them, but Hank didn't ask her out. And I said, "Anne, you're a modern woman. You know, you're 77 years old. You certainly have the right. Why don't you ask him to the matinee on Sunday? That's very non-threatening. And go to the movie, and let's just see what happens." And so she called up Hank, I think, didn't she, Hank? And asked him to the movie. And the two of them were together ever since. So if you think in this room that you can't find love because you're an alcoholic, look at Anne and Hank, you know, 84 and 95. I think Hank at the time was a youthful 88. But it is a great love story that is very inspiring to me. And I love thinking about it. I love thinking about Anne. She was one of the smartest people I've ever met. Extremely well educated. She graduated from Carnegie Mellon in a day when women didn't go to college. And I just loved her so much. That's all I can say. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Jolie. I'm an alcoholic. And the first person I met at Triangle was Anne McDonald's. And she gave me the lowdown on alcoholic men. She told me never let them drive your car because her black Mustang had been run into a tree. And among other things about them, which I won't go into, but if you want to speak to me after the memorial, I'll be glad to share them. Anne was so special because she made an effort to be kind to me and was one of the reasons why I kept coming back. She said, "You don't want to die alone in the fetal position with a drink, you know, a bottle on the floor." And I was on that road. She left Triangle, I'm not sure what year, it was all blurry, and came to Napa. And I came to Napa too at the 1:30 meetings. And I found great relief coming to meetings. She was very, very fond of her sons. Louie, Georgie, and Ed, and was also very proud in her artistic right that she knew Andy Warhol and Philip Perlstein, who's a realist painter. And I was an artist too, so we had a lot in common, and we worked together at the Benson Center doing sculpture. And she'll be greatly missed. Thank you.
I started coming to Napa about 12 years ago when I stopped smoking. I'm from the South Side. And I met Ann, and I really liked what she had. She had a real high-class voice, and she would call me honey and things of that nature. And I drew close to her. They told me in the halfway house that I liked older women because they were less likely to confront me. But that wasn't true in Ann's case. Because she confronted me regularly. But I wound up appreciating every bit of it. I can still remember her saying, "Honey, the higher power takes care of it all." That was just so soothing to me. I would be all in a turmoil about something. "Oh, honey, the higher power takes care of it all." So, I can recall asking her to sponsor me at one time, and she refused and pointed me to my wonderful sponsor right now. She pointed me in her way. But I will certainly miss her. I've got a couple of her pieces of art in my home, and I'll certainly miss her. And I'm glad we have this celebration. Thanks.
My name is Isla, and I'm an alcoholic. You know, the thing I loved most about Ann was, and what I said when I heard at another clubhouse that she had passed away, I said, "That woman lived fully till the day she died." And all of you who know her know that is the truth. And she was very, I always called her a warrior, because indeed she was a warrior. And there was one specific incident that I remember in particular. It was a widely, nationally publicized social issue in which I had taken a public stand. And there were so many people in this clubhouse who agreed with me secretly, but wouldn't come out and say it publicly. The only two people who supported me publicly was Hank and Ann. That's really, really special. For they were both willing and able to stand up for what they believed was right when a lot of other people believed that the issue was right, but they didn't want folks to know how they felt. So that was enough. But when Ann spoke at a meeting, I always, since the day I met her, it was, she was always funny as hell, just really funny. And as Judith said, you know, a very, very, the other day, like 3 days ago, somebody asked me a question. And I was trying to think, I had asked exactly the same question of Ann probably 3 years ago. And she gave me
a textbook answer. It was just like it had been written by a PhD. And I tried to paraphrase it, but Ann was very, very wise and fully alive. And I will miss her terribly. Loved her a great deal, and she did. Her voice meant everything to her. And I've also heard her speak of you, Lori. Thank you.
My name is Erica, and I'm an alcoholic, and I met Ann about almost 5 years ago, first time, and I came into this meeting at the Nava Club. I moved from Kentucky here, and I remember coming through the door and looked here and saw this lady sitting in her chair, which is empty now, and she caught my eye, and I'm just fascinated by her. And listened to what she was saying, and I liked that too, because it was straight out. There was no marmalade around it. I mean, she said what she meant, and I appreciated that also very much. And I was kind of scared to ask her because I did not have somebody who could sponsor me in a way I liked it. And I said, you know, she probably could tell you what you know, she tells you straight out, and she sure did. And I also paint a little bit, and she was very straight out with what I should do, what I should change. And every time, whenever she opened her mouth, it was the truth. And that is something I only can accept. And she and Hank, you both were just a simple inspiration for me, because, you know, you're getting older, and you think, oh my gosh, look at those pups. That is full of life. They were always busy. There was never an excuse that I'm tired or I cannot do this or I'm sick or whatever. She was an always absolutely positive human being. And that to me will be with me for a long, long, long time. And my mother got to meet her also, and you, Hank, and I should give you greetings from Germany, because she's very, very sad about what happened. And it is something that will be missed here, and she is, you can't reproduce that. It's something that is gone, but in our memories, and when I look at this picture down here, this is her, a very colorful lady. When you look at her eyes, you saw love in it, knowledge, and the truth of, you know, what is life about, and I just appreciate that. Thank you.
Hey everyone, my name is Connie and I'm an alcoholic. All the things that have been said here today are some of my thoughts as well, and I'm very humbled and honored to be here to be part of Ann's celebration. I wrote some of my thoughts, so if you'll be patient, I would like to share them. I think we could all agree from the gathering that we have here today that Ann touched many lives, and she was very loved. And we're sharing various aspects of Ann's life, but I wanted to tell you about one quality that kind of embodies it for me that Ann had that just has touched me and I hope will stay with me, I hope, for the rest of my life. That was her persistent desire to strive for more and to evolve and to be engaged and to be the very best she could be, as we've talked about, to her very last day. And if I could just work backwards from the most recent few examples. Okay, just last year, despite the drought that we're in, Anne and her dear companion Hank, who I love very much as well, they took it upon themselves to dig up a plot of dry red Georgia clay right outside the Nava building. and they turned it into a lovely, lush garden plot. Anne wanted to do this for her son that had passed away. And that effort included the idea, the inspiration, driving over here from Sandy Springs, whatever the weather, watering it, weeding it, cajoling others to do the same. And, it, of course, it turned out to be so beautiful. Who would have thought? I recall one hot day last summer, I looked over and I saw Ann and Hank in the car, and I was surprised to see her with those tubes going into her nostrils. And that was the first that I sensed that she must be very ill, but it certainly didn't stop her from tending the plot that day, and hopefully that will continue. During Ann's last decade, she entered into a committed, loving relationship with Hank. Ann and Hank lived life to the fullest. They traveled, they expanded their interests in art and supported each other in that, and they were very fun hostesses and guests to parties. But I was also very impressed that they took on the tough challenge as a couple to go into some analysis of the relationship and talk about that and share that with others. And there she was in her last decade of life doing that, and that was very brave and thoughtful, and she shared that. Do you remember that she entered the Roswell Public Art Contest, or not contest, but displaying regarding various types of turtles? Hers is a great, fun, larger-than-life turtle, and the inspiration was Leonardo da Vinci. I think she called it Leonardo da Turpini or something like that. But, you know, in fact, her art took on a new chapter right in the last part of her life, because some of her previous clients for whom she did portraiture, their children's children now wanted her to do portraits of their offspring. And she was very pleased and inspired and prolific with the art that she did in the last part of her life. She did take care of herself physically, although she was honest in saying that that had not always been the case in her life. Many people, some in my family, they will not think about getting knee replacement surgery. That's a tough thing to do. But Ann and Hank did undertake that, and he took such good care of her, and she was determined that she was going to get herself in better physical shape, and she had that knee replacement done. And did she have two? It was very hard, and they got through that. You know, she also did her water aerobics faithfully. Okay, one day I was in a parking lot in Gwinnett going to see Tim at work, and I had on WABE, the NPR station, and they had these Sounds of Atlanta clips. And it says, and here from the Benson Center, and there was Ann's voice. And she was in her water aerobics class. And that was Ann. I had to call up Tim right there. And on the Sounds of Atlanta, there was Ann Dodson's inimitable voice. And it was great. She was so interested and well-informed about world events, books, movies, whatever. She was so engaged and interested. She was a natural teacher. I would love to listen to her explain about the latest health care bill or an art theory or some aspect of a favorite topic, and one of her favorite topics was psychology and emotional intelligence. And she was always so supportive if I had something on my mind to talk about a family member or just what's going on in my heart. She would listen and was very wise. She was one of a kind, and I loved her very much. I'm honored to have been a friend of hers. She went with me to the symphony. We visited each other's homes, and she and Hank attended the wedding party that Tim and I had 3 years ago. I missed her very much, but I'm really glad that Ann was part of my life.
My name is Henry Gibbons, and I am a recovering alcoholic, mainly because I had the good fortune in my early days of recovery to meet your mother, Ann McDonald, and she had an understanding of me because I'm also bipolar. And we had a lot of good talks about that, but she helped me to realize that there's no shame in that, and that there's only a shame in not dealing with it and following the doctor's orders. And Ann also babysitted was my daughter when my daughter was very, very young. And she really, really liked Annie. And Annie really liked her. And I won't go farther there because I'm very biased. But Ann had a wide range of understanding. She knew a lot of different people. And in one of my darkest actions of my drinking in a blackout that I didn't remember, when I came to the next morning, I'm going to tell you the story behind the story, which is the truth. I wish you could just say, I said, take me a picture. But that portrait right there, that nice portrait of the kind of balding man right there, runs in the gene pool. He's my grandfather, Dr. William Henry Lucas, and he was also on the team of doctors that helped. There was a federal project research penicillin back in the 20s, and also was a pediatrician that delivered Senator Herman Talmadge, which the Talmadge Bridge is named after in Savannah. And in my drunken blackout, I broke the original one up, and it was a very, very sad morning for me as well as for my parents. But after I got sober and I got to meet some people in here and realized that I wasn't alone in a lot of those kind of things, this is where Ann came in so special. And I got that same picture on them, like a 5x7, and Ann painted that. And that's the story behind it. And I don't remember if I was 2 or 3 years sober, but she did it for probably the cost of pain. She just enjoyed helping me and framed it and everything. And I gave that to my mother on her Mother's Day 1 year and as my amends, and she really loved that. So, you know, Ann did more than just, you know, we always remember her sitting where Lori sits now and Hank right next to her, and always just a fabulous sense of humor. But there's just so much, and she knew so many people, and she was so kind, and she was always good to anyone. Thank you.
I'm Kathy, I'm an alcoholic, and I just can't not tell this story, Henry, I'm sorry, but Ann was very helpful to me when I had Annie. She used to babysit a lot for Annie, and when I first met her, I was sitting out front in the lobby, and I had Annie in my hands, and she came up, and Henry walked by, and she said, "Henry, how can this baby be so beautiful and look like you at the same time?" Anyway, I've always appreciated her humor, and that was one of the first times I met her, and I think about it all the time when I see. So thanks.
like I said earlier, she was always active in club functions. She was just a fine lady, and I know that with all these people, and there are probably a lot more too, who she definitely had an impact on their lives. And frankly, I don't think there's any greater tribute that anyone can give than that. And you've shown that in the show enough, and I know that I miss her as well. Why don't we end this with the circle and the Lord's Prayer?
Karen wanted me to remind you that Anne told her story here in the last year, the last 2 years, and that story you can listen to on NavaClub.org. It is there. So